now closing in on Emmett Smith, of all people, in terms of all-time rushers in the SEC. Looking to pass it. He's thrown four touchdowns. Up for grabs. And there's number five. Johnson with the...
Got to drive it, Brad. You got to drive it. Matt, for maybe the win.
All right, everybody, welcome in to another Arkansas Takes reaction to the big win over St. John's and the matchup for the Sweet 16. Cadence, what'd you think? Saturday, we're sitting there watching the game. A little dicey, but they pulled it off.
I was getting nervous about midway through the second half that the refs just weren't going to let us have it. They did not want us to win that game, it felt like.
Yeah, it looked like it felt like they were playing a long game. You know, like they were.
Yeah, they're fouling, getting our big men up in fouls, and then at the end of the game, I was worried we weren't going to have any of them. Like Coach Cal was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, talking about how he was already planning to play a four-man zone, 1-2-1. If that would have happened, that would have been game over.
Yeah, the diamond formation or something—that's what he called it.
Yep.
Yeah, but they do get the win, 75-66. I mean.
It's still impressive they won by that many points.
I mean, and you think if the fouls go more our way, if that makes sense. I mean, I think that the game was a grueler. Like, everybody was fouling on both ends the whole game. So, I mean, you look at it, you could have won by more, but.
Yeah. St. John's did get a lot of fouls called on them as well, but it just felt like the fouls they were getting were like kind of like ticky-tacky stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't calling them for, like, they had that big man on their team. He's running through people. They're not calling fouls on that. But if we start playing physical, we were getting called for it. They were letting us play both different ways and still calling bad fouls.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look back on it, there was ticky-tack stuff. But, I mean, can we really complain? We got the win. You won by nine, and you got the win shooting 10% from the three-point line. St. John's shot a whopping 9%. So we're going to have to shoot better. And we'll talk about that when we get into the next matchup. But, you know, you still shot 42% from the line. You know, I just kept on saying, drive the ball. Like, if we're not making threes, that is our biggest strength. It's at least, you know, late in the season with, Jonas playing the way he does with that pick and pop and pick and roll. DJ can get to the basket. Boogie can get to the basket. I mean, these guys can drive to the hoop, and Texas Tech knows that, you know. So we're going to have to hit our threes because they are going to collapse the paint on us. They're not, I mean, we've scored probably, I'm guessing, 70 to 80, well, maybe high 60s to 70 points in the paint in the first two games in the tournament. You know, most of our points come from there in the free throw line. So
that's going to be big for us, especially. DJ. I mean, DJ did a good job in the St. John's game getting to the rim, but in this Texas Tech game, we're going to need him to finish a lot better than he did in the St. John's game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But let's go over a couple performances. Of course, you had your two freshmen lead you in scoring. Billy Richmond, I mean, he hit that jump shot with, it was a little less than 3 minutes left in the corner, the little, looked like almost, he just, his jump shot, he just jumps so high in the air. I mean, it's like Devo. He plays like Devo. Yep. But yeah, it's 16 points off the bench, 29 minutes, nine rebounds, only one turnover. I think he's improved on that. You know, I talked about it that game, he had seven turnovers, and then the next game, he had none. I don't know how many he had in the first round, but he's not turning the ball over that much.
No, he's playing really, I mean, he had a huge game, and he stuffed the stat sheet, like you said.
Yep. Only nine turnovers. That's huge. You get five steals as a team, seven blocks. Carter Knox, I mean, that one possession where he blocks.
Yeah, like three.
Yeah, it was, I mean, again, Carter Knox, 15 points, six rebounds. Played a great game. Janelle Davis, 13 points, four rebounds. You're getting productive. It wasn't like anybody went crazy. And the guys that we really thought, or that I thought was going to have an impact, they did, but it wasn't on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, no one really showed up on offense. I mean, I think that St. John's guy, he had 23. So he was the only one with 20-plus points in the game.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, like what you say about – you said Billy and Carter Knox both had 16 points, 15, 16.
Yeah, they combined for 31.
It's just watching that game, I knew they were playing good. I'm like, Carter and Billy, they're giving us good minutes. They're contributing. They're doing good. I didn't think they had that good of a stat line after the game, and that it's crazy how they kind of like silently accrued all those stats throughout the game.
Yeah, and I think – the biggest thing about this team is, you know, you had Boogie go out, and it helped these guards and Adu going out. It had these guards and, you know, forwards being able to play more minutes. And their experience, these freshmen can hoop. I mean, we knew, obviously, they're on Coach Cal. You know, Coach Cal recruited them. They can play. But you're not going to get this type of productivity out of these type of players in their first year unless they've played a lot of minutes. You know,
especially Carter and Billy, because like when they came in, if you would have told me at the end of the season, like Carter Knox getting those three blocks on that possession, he's turned into a guy that can guard four positions. He can guard the point guard all the way up to the power forward. And I mean, I think that comes from him having to play so many minutes.
Yeah.
That's
a smaller lineup, but he can still do it. You know, our team is so, you know, they say long, but they're just wide. Like, whenever everybody puts their arms out, it's going to be, I mean,
they can cover the whole inside of 3-point line.
Yeah. But yeah, they, you know, they play great. You win by 9. You were underdogs by 5.5. I mean, 6 points. I think it may have opened up at 7. I don't really remember. But, and you beat a good coach team. You shut down the Big East Player of the Year, only 9 points. Of course, he sat on the bench. Everybody talked. That's what everybody wanted to talk about. Was him sitting on the bench in the final minutes, but at the same time, he wasn't playing good. You could see it on his face. The kid was checked out of this game. I mean, what do you expect? They made 2 3-pointers, 22%. Their starting lineup combined for 1 for 8, 11, 13, 1 for 13 from the 3-point line, and that kid was not doing it.
I think a big thing about that game, too, is St. John's. They play the same way as us. They want to force turnovers, get out in transition, get to the rim. They're not really trying to shoot it out of the gym or anything. I think it says a lot about this team that they played the number 2 seed, played their style of game, outplayed them.
Best defense in the country.
We played probably better defense than they did.
And we scored 75 points. I mean, this team, at the beginning of the year, if you'd have told me that our Boogie Flan goes out, who's scoring, you know, sometimes dropping 30 points, we scored 90 against Vanderbilt, scored 90 against Mississippi State. You know, we've been scoring 80, 90 points. Now you score 75 on a really bad shooting night. Like, I mean, you can't complain about this, man.
Nope. That's a very good game. Very, like you said, you can't score 75 points and you shoot 10% from the free throw line or a 3-point line. It's pretty impressive.
Yep. All right. So they get that win now. You go on to face the 3-seeded Texas Tech Red Raiders. It's a solid team. They're really good. Obviously, they're a 3-seed. They got a really good player in Toppin, 18 points a game, 9 rebounds. They got Chance McMillan. They're saying, you know, he might be back. You know, I don't really know if he's as close as Adu is, which we'll get into coming back. But it's going to be a tough game against these guys.
Yep.
Period.
And they shoot the ball very well.
Yeah. I mean, they're 80 points per game, 47% from the field, 37% from the 3-point line. Better offensively than Arkansas. But again, have they seen this type of athleticism? Have they played against this type of length? They may have once or twice during the season, but they're not playing these type of teams like they would if they were in the SEC, who has 7 teams in the Sweet 16. Now, I was thinking about this last night, and I'm not going to drag onto this too much, but Arkansas has won, 6 of their last 7? And their one loss is to a team that is in the Sweet 16 in Ole Miss. So, and it was by 3 at the buzzer, close to the buzzer. So,
yep.
I mean, what are we talking about here, you know?
They've been hot. I'm feeling Texas Tech is a good team. I'm not saying we're going to just throttle them, but I'm feeling really good about this game.
Man. And again, okay, so I got a little graphic here. Odunsiyo is available. He didn't practice with the media today, and I saw a bunch of people commenting, oh, man, what's going on? He did have a brace on or a sleeve or something, but he's going to play. There's no doubt in my mind that this kid's playing. I don't care if he's playing for 10, 15 minutes. Who cares? I mean, he's going to get rebounds. He's going to play defense. He wouldn't go out there unless he was going to be able to be as impactful, you know, as he has been whenever he's on the floor.
Well, and Coach Cal saying he's the one that wants to play, so clearly he's feeling comfortable on his leg or knee, whatever the issue is.
Yep.
He feels comfortable that he can contribute. I don't think that he'd be begging to play if he felt like he was going to re-injure it or he couldn't play like himself, because I don't know why he'd want to do that.
Yeah, and another thing, this guy doesn't play. He don't even play 30 minutes a game because he plays so hard. So even if he comes in and plays 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, but he's Coach Cal was like, well, Boogie only played 18 minutes when really he played like 24, but he's not going to take away too many minutes, but I don't care whose minutes he takes away from. If this kid's healthy, he needs to be on the floor, period.
Yep. I mean, he's our best player all season.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So now on, and we'll kind of talk about Texas Tech a little more and kind of the matchup, what they're going to want to do, how we're going to be able to do it. Like I said at the beginning, they know we can drive the ball. They're going to be closing off those lanes, and the three-pointers will be open. Now, we're going to have to hit them. We're going to have to make more than two. We're going to have to make at least six or seven, in my opinion, to even, I mean, you think maybe Boogie can hit one, DJ, Carter, and then Nelly hit a couple. Everybody's hit one, and then one guy hit a couple. Brazil hit one. You know, it can happen.
Maybe the, Big Z shows up.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it. There's no other way around it. They will have to hit three-pointers in this game.
And Texas Tech's a team that, I mean, I'm not saying they don't drive to the rim, but they're looking for the three-point shot. They're going to be shooting three-point shots. You have to keep up with them in some type of way. You don't have to outshoot them, but if they have 8 three-pointers, you can't have one. You're going to lose that game.
Yep, and that's honestly one of the only ways I see Texas Tech winning this game is if they make 15 threes. I mean, and it happens in the NCAA tournament. And if that was to happen, if that was to happen tomorrow, then, you know, you chalk it up and you say it is what it is. That's why, I mean, not that we would have beat that UConn team, but UConn was shooting the lights out against us. Now, they did it to everybody, but
yeah,
I'm only focused on Arkansas normally, you know, so, but they shot the lights out in that game. And you just can't, you're going to have to chase them off the 3-point line and make them make tough twos. That's what Arkansas did to St. John's. That's what they did against Kansas. We can defend well around the basket, and we're going to have to do it tomorrow.
I think that's a big thing, too, with Thero being back is just his defense. You're adding another great defender to we already have 5-6 great defenders, so we're going to have another one. And Toppin is really good, the big man. And if we get in foul trouble inside with our big men again, Thero is going to be a guy that can step in and just be another body. Even if he only plays 10 minutes, if he gives Adu 10 minutes break, not getting foul trouble, it's going to work out really well.
What I like about that matchup with either Adu, maybe someone, you know, if he catches it at the low block, which he will, maybe Brazil coming down the baseline, you know, protecting the rim on the other side. But this guy's a back to the basket. He can turn around and, you know, but he's a finesser around the basket. I mean, he's not going to, I mean, as far as I know, he's not going to be popping out and knocking down three-pointers like Hunter Dickinson. So I do like that matchup in the sense that Adu is going to have to exert energy, but he's not going to have to. He can't stretch the floor. Yeah, he can't stretch the floor like Brazil. Obviously, yep. Brazil's not a back-to-the-basket. You know, they both have their positives, and this kid's obviously a good player, almost 20 points. He's averaging a double-double, basically, in a decent conference. So he's carried his team to the Sweet 16. He's no slouch.
I just think it's just me. I feel really good about the game. I think we have too many bodies to throw at him. Right? Yeah. That's how I just feel right now. We got 4 or 5 guys that I feel like we can throw at him.
Yeah, and like
and Mac, then we got a
go ahead.
Keep my 3-point line. Sorry, yeah, that's what I was saying.
No, you're good. Like, and McAfee said in that Cal interview, he's like, you know, most teams are losing players, and you're gaining players. And it's not like we're gaining our last man in the rotation. I mean, these guys that are coming back that will play, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to play. I heard on the Razorback Daily with Coach Z and Quinn Grovey, Coach Z was like, yeah, I'm glad Cal came out and said that, because I saw Adu out there sprinting up and down the floor. Whenever the team was running sprints before they went to San Francisco, he was basically third in sprints. I mean, the kid was running. He's going to play. I mean, he sat out today. Listen, I would not read too much into that. I'm sure he practiced today.
I haven't watched the media practice that you're saying he sat out of. But yesterday I'm watching the Arkansas basketball account post videos on Twitter of him driving it to the lane, getting hit, dunking on people. Yeah. I'm like, he looks fine.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him not practicing for 15 minutes.
I didn't watch it either. I just saw the media people that are there posting about it. Because it was only, they practiced for 15 minutes with the media there. And then they have like an hour, 2 hour practice after that. So he just sat out basically the first 15 minutes, but he was dressed. And he was dribbling the ball and stuff. He was just sitting there on the bench. I'm not worried about him playing. He's going to play. And, I mean, think about this. How good our team is. And we have arguably our two best players coming off the bench. And maybe three best players. I mean, Billy Richmond comes off the bench too. So, yeah. I mean, this is just... Arkansas and Coach Cal could not be in a better position going into this game. Period. They couldn't. I mean, what else could you ask for? I mean, obviously you want to hit some more threes, but they're going to hit them. I mean, they're going to make this happen. There's no way they don't. This season, again, I'm saying it again, this season cannot end to losing to Texas Tech. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do all this to lose to Texas Tech.
Yeah, we can't. At this point, honestly, I would love to win more games. I'm not saying I don't want to win, but if they lost today, it wouldn't like break my heart, or tomorrow, it wouldn't like break my heart, because it's like, I'm pretty satisfied with how the season started and where we're at. I've already started thinking about who's coming back in the transfer portal and stuff, but that's not for today. But I want to win, of course, but it's like, I'm just super pumped about the team right now. I really don't.
I guess if I'm just greedy.
I don't want to get blown out, but if we play a close game, it's not going to like stress me out.
Yeah. I don't want to get greedy either. I mean, I told you after on our first podcast, after the Mississippi State game, I said, I don't want this team just to make the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't want that to be, oh, good deal, you know, and they haven't. They have a great win against Bill Self in Kansas, and now Rick Pitino in St. John's. They've made it to the second weekend. You can't really ask for much more, I guess. I mean,
I see where you're coming from, though, because you would think that this is an easier game than St. John's, and we handled them so well. So I see what you're saying. But it's just, I'm just so happy with how it all turned out.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easier game, because St. John's clearly cannot score the basketball. But I like the matchups, and especially with Thero coming back, I like our matchups. Mm-hmm. And this, again, is every weekend is it's a matchups. It's one game at a time. It don't matter what the records say. You still have to line up. It don't matter if we're a 10 seed or not. When Texas Tech steps on the floor with us, it's going to be, you know, right then. It's not going to be all this talk and, you know, whatever. It's going to be, they're going to have to guard our guys, and they have to get around our guys, you know.
It's like what you said is what Coach Cal said on his interview with Pat McAfee as well. He said, every coach in the 16 knows that we're all in the Sweet 16, those we're all 2-0. Nothing else matters.
Yep. All right. Quickly, we will go over. Unless you had anything else, I mean, I have a couple more notes. I mean, Tech usually plays with an 8-man rotation. They got one other big guy that comes off the bench and plays like 7 or 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you make him play a little bit more, get Toppin in some foul trouble. That's the main thing for me is, we just got to drive to the hoop, and we got to make Toppin make a decision whether he's going to defend us or not, if whether he's going to try to stop us and foul us or what, because some guys have surprised me with the way they drive the ball. Like Carter Knox, he was, I mean, I was just surprised on how we won that game. I wasn't expecting us to win the game that way, if that makes sense.
I mean, the way the game's been going lately, you're kind of expecting just Brazil and Adu to carry us through it. And they get in foul trouble early. They can't do it, which is kind of what, I mean, that's what we've gotten used to the last month, is Brazil and Adu kind of being the leaders of the offense.
All right. So tomorrow, starting out 6:09, BYU, Alabama, in the Sweet 16. What do you think?
Give me BYU.
BYU. Oh, my gosh, man. If they beat Alabama, you know, Bama made a Final Four last year.
They didn't. No, they made the national title last year.
They were in the national title game?
Yeah, they lost to, I believe,
UConn. They had to have lost to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maryland, Florida. This would be the matchup Arkansas would face if they were to win, when they win, against Texas Tech tomorrow.
That's a tough one for me. I don't know much about Maryland, but I've watched their games in this tournament, and I just think they look really good. And I can see them beating Florida, but I just don't think they will.
Okay.
But the way Florida plays, they shoot so many threes, they miss them all one night, they could lose. But I'm still going to pick Florida.
Yep, that may be an ugly game. Like, if Tech and Florida play next or on Saturday and neither team shooting well, it could just be a disaster. All right, next up, 8:39 on CBS, Duke, Arizona. I got Duke. I have Duke, though, pretty much the rest of the way, unless Arkansas runs into him.
I'll probably go with Duke, too, but I'll be going for Arizona. I like Caleb Love.
Yeah. Okay. And then, obviously, we talked about Arkansas and Texas Tech. That's pretty much all for Thursday. When we win, we'll probably do something Friday night before the game Saturday. They don't have any times. I don't even remember when the last Elite Eight game was, like what time we played. I'm pretty sure it's in the late afternoon. I imagine they're not going to play that. I mean, there's only going to be two games that day. So you think that maybe they play one at 8 and one at 5:30 or 5 o'clock?
Yeah, that probably sounds about right.
Or they may play one at 1 o'clock and one at 5 o'clock. I don't really know with the
well, it is Saturday. They might start it earlier, like at 1 o'clock, like you're saying.
But it is in California too, so you gotta think about
yeah.
You know, if they start that game at noon, that'll be freaking 9 AM on the East Coast. So I think minimum 4 o'clock. But we'll see. I mean, you could probably
go back. three and six or 3 and 7, yeah, something like that.
You could probably go back to last year's what time those games started and have an idea, but we will not care about that until we get there.
I do care about that time tomorrow. I might have to take a nap or something.
9:09. I won't be. I'll be listening to old Chuck Barrett when I'm driving down the interstate. Actually, I might be getting to Little Rock around the time, because 9:09, it's probably gonna start at 9:40. Yeah. So I might be able to watch the first hour or so of that.
We'll hope for an overtime for you in the game before.
Yeah. No, I'll still be driving anyways, so. All right, well, I mean, that's pretty much going to do it. I don't really have anything else. Big win. Glad they're in the Sweet 16. I'll be even happier when they get to the Elite Eight. And then we'll be just 40 minutes from a Final Four.
I got one thing off topic. Yeah. And I don't want to drag it out.
No, you're good. Do whatever.
How do you score 13 runs in a baseball game and have 20 strikeouts and lose last night?
Mistakes.
And 13 runs and 20 strikeouts and you lose.
Just mistakes, man. I mean, they had a couple ground balls and a couple of errors and just kept them in it. I mean, you know, what did we go up, like 8-4 or something like that? And then they just chipped their way back in it, you know? It's a midweek game. I'm not sweating it. You know, they're gonna sweep Vanderbilt this weekend, and everybody will forget about it.
I wouldn't sweat it, but I just don't get how you put up that many runs and still lose. You should never lose when you score that many runs.
Yeah, it's disheartening, but, you know, it is what it is.
They'll bounce back today. It's okay.
And the softball team did go on the road and beat seventh-ranked Tennessee 2 out of 3 games. I think they lost yesterday or Monday in the third game. But they get the win. I don't think there's any other sports. Not a lot coming out of spring camp right now. Everybody's just kind of locked in on basketball, baseball, and a little bit of softball there. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it. We will be back Friday after a Razorback win against Texas Tech. Everybody take it easy. Like it, share it, comment on it. Peace.